Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.
The absolute priority for Germany is to strengthen Europe as quickly as possible so that we can achieve real independence from the USA. Well, those were the words of the likely new Chancellor of Germany, Friedrich Merz, following his party's victory in the weekend's general election. His comments reflect an unprecedented election in Europe's biggest economy, which has been dominated by an attempted American influence and the rise of the far-right AfD party. Well, here to talk about all of this is Matt Fry, Europe editor and anchor at Channel 4 News. Matt, good to talk to you again. We had a chat before the weekend. Now it's time to catch up as those results come true. Donald Trump described it as a great day for Germany. How would you assess how people are feeling there this morning following the weekend's results?
Yeah, good to speak to you again, Claire. I mean, it's interesting, that tweet or post that Donald Trump put out on social media, we're not entirely certain whether he misread the results and thought that the AfD, the Alternative for Germany party, the far right one that he and Elon Musk had embraced and supported very vociferously, whether he thought that they had won or whether he actually knew that the CDU had won. This is the same party that Angela Merkel once headed, the Angela Merkel whose hand he refused to shake in the Oval Office when he was president the last time. So we're never quite sure with Trump whether he's got the right information here or really understands what's going on. But the point is that he also changes his mind. So on one hand, you've got the American president, let's take him at face value, saying good news that, you know, that this new government in Germany, once they've cobbled together their coalition, will be, you know, anti-immigration. It'll be, you know, pro more defense spending, et cetera, et cetera. But this is also the guy, Friedrich Merz, the chancellor, new chancellor, who said, we have to wean ourselves off American security. Europe and Germany have to be independent of America. And he then, you know, the preamble to that sentence was, I would never have imagined that I would be on live on German television as the chancellor-elect saying those words. Mm-hmm. That reflects the new reality to you that is, you know, that people are grasping both in Germany and in the rest of Europe.
Yeah, and so Donald Trump may have something else to say on Truth Social once he digests those comments. What are the challenges then facing Friedrich Merz as he attempts to form this coalition?
Okay, there's several. The first and foremost one is forming a coalition. Because some of the smaller parties did not get above the famous 5% hurdle that was originally put into the German constitution to prevent extremists from getting into the Bundestag, into the parliament, but has actually failed to do so in several cases, in most notably the AfD. But because two small parties didn't get above that hurdle and are not in the Bundestag, that basically means that the SPD, the party of the outgoing Chancellor Olaf Scholz, the Social Democrats, who got their worst results since their creation in 1887, that they now have enough members of the Bundestag to form a so-called grand coalition, which doesn't feel all that grand to them, to be honest, with the Christian Democrats. So it's possible, likely, that we're going to have a coalition that we had before under Angela Merkel and before that under Gerhard Schröder, the German Chancellor, of basically the Christian Democrats and the Social Democrats. So the centre-left and the centre-right working together. But the environment in which they operate will be entirely different because the second party is now the AfD. They got, you know, an astonishing number of votes. They're only 12 years old as a party, and they have doubled their share of the vote and their members of the Bundestag in the last 3.5 years. They are diametrically opposed to many of the things that the other parties want, the mainstream parties, and they are still excluded from any coalition or any kind of power sharing. That is something that Mr. Merz has reassured the German public of. So if you're the AfD, and I saw their leader this morning, Alice Weidel, and did a quick interview with her, she's very happy indeed. And, you know, in her fluent Goldman Sachs English, basically said, you know, more or less the future belongs to us. And she has a point, mm-hmm. because they were the most popular party amongst young voters between the ages of, I think, 23 and 35. They, you know, if they're not in the coalition, which they won't be, all they have to do is watch the actual government mess things up. And then they have a chance next time around to become the main party. And if they were to be somehow involved in power, they can say, look, we are the unavoidable partners of any future German government.
And so what are people attributing to their success, particularly amongst the younger voters? And we hear an analysis over the last number of hours, this is all down to the economy. What's your own view on that, Matt?
Well, it's not just the economy. There's a general sense of hopelessness, especially in the eastern German states, which were once, you know, communist East Germany, that, you know, they've been given a raw deal by the West Germans, that the economy is stagnant. And of course, there's far too much immigration. Every time there's an extremist attack on a Christmas market or someone drives a car into a crowd of people, the AfD support notches up another percent or so. So that's the reality. That's what's happening. And of course, you know, as in other European countries, when the far right place these very clear demands and they're very good at weaponizing people's frustrations and anger, it forces all the other parties, but especially the center-right, to move further to the right. And this is what happened with the Tories in the UK, thanks to reform. This is what happened, you know, in Holland with the Christian Democrat equivalent there. This is what's happening in Germany now. So Friedrich Merz sounds very different as a Christian Democrat chancellor to his predecessor, Angela Merkel, who's very much in the centre of that party.
Mm-hmm. And you described him so well to us on Friday, both physically and in terms of his personality. He was quite animated, though, when he stood in front of the people when the results emerged. I mean, how do you predict he is going to work through these negotiations and survive this undoubtedly difficult road that he has ahead?
Well, he is incredibly confident. I mean, there doesn't lack in confidence. I listened to one of his former schoolmates who was on German telly the other day, and he said, well, you know, he had to repeat a year at school. He wasn't the brightest spark. I mean, he's not stupid by any means. He's clever, but he wasn't academic, but he was very, very confident, even as a young schoolboy. And he, you know, shoots from the hip. He's quite impulsive. He can lose his temper, and he's very confident and comfortable in his own skin and confident of his own voice. Now, that would be quite good for forming a coalition, I think, especially with the social democrats who are licking their own wounds, you know, who look utterly crestfallen at the moment, and rightly so, because they have led a terrible government for the last 4 years. They have been unable to forge a kind of coherent coalition with the Greens and the Liberals, and now they are down in the doldrums as never before. But at the same time, I think Friedrich Merz, given these proclivities I've just talked about, will be in a pretty good position to stare down Donald Trump. First of all, he is taller than Trump. That's something that Trump will definitely take note of and may not like very much, but is unavoidable. And secondly, his English is very good, Merz's English, and he will, you know, look directly into the Trump eyes, mano a mano, eyeball to eyeball, and Trump respects that. He respects that kind of physical presence and that kind of clarity of voice and thought. And maybe the two of them might actually find some common ground.
You see, it's going to be really interesting to see what emerges in Europe over the coming months because, you know, as Friedrich Merz has said himself, we need to make ourselves independent from the United States. There's also this issue now of defending Ukraine in the face of this new and emerging alliance between Russia and the United States. So you'd wonder whether, you know, Friedrich Merz might be the person to emerge as the strong European leader who puts it up to Donald Trump?
Ah, well, that's a good question, Claire. Now, I remember once asking Angela Merkel whether she considered herself to be the leader of Europe. And this was at a time when the CDU was in a very strong position. Germany was in a much healthier and more confident position than it is now. And she said, I don't want to be considered the leader of Europe. We don't do leadership here of Europe in Germany anymore. You know, with a clear sort of nod to the rather dark past of Germany. I think Friedrich Merz's language is going to be entirely different. He's already said that Germany has not been at the table. It's been on the menu for all these discussions in recent weeks. It needs to get off the menu, back onto the table. He will make sure that it does so. And given the fact that Macron is now has become a lame duck, that he's only got another year and a half left in office, I would not be surprised if Friedrich Merz finally got to the position that Germans had always been sort of shying away from, but everyone else wondered if they should occupy, which is, as the biggest economy in Europe, to be the kind of natural leadership role that they have so far skirted for all sorts of historical well-known issues. I wouldn't be surprised if he was the man to fulfill that role.
Yeah, it'll be so interesting to watch. And Olaf Scholz, the outgoing chancellor, he's gone, is he? He said, I'm out.
Yeah, he's not totally out yet. He likes to cling on to the vestiges of power, like a sort of desperate man sinking. But he has recused himself from any coalition negotiations. And the man that everyone is looking at is Oskar Pistorius, the incredibly popular defense minister, you know, who's been very robust in his support for Ukraine. He would be the natural ally for Chancellor Merz in a coalition. But there are other people there who might make life a bit more difficult. And also remember, we talk blithely about European defense beefing up and, you know, Europe has to stand on its own two feet. What that means in terms of cash is 230 billion extra euros a year. That's a lot of money. And when you're already struggling with healthcare, with national insurance, with fixing potholes and roads and all the stuff that we talk about all the time, the domestic issues that really matter in democracies, and then you ask people to basically, you know, pony up even more money for defense, you're going to have to make them feel that the Russian bear is really breathing down their neck and that Europe itself is in danger here and not just Ukraine. And that is something that, you know, very few politicians have dared to do so far. And remember also the people that might have to fight to protect Europe's honor or existence will be the very young people who voted for the AfD and the Linke party here in Germany who don't like the idea of NATO or conscription or weapons or war.
Matt, good to talk to you again and thanks for taking the time to be with us. Matt Fry there from Channel 4 News. Back after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.